The reading this morning is from Song of Songs, chapter 3, verse 5. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. I will get up now and go about the city, through the streets and squares. I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. The watchmen found me as they made their rounds in the city. Have you seen the one my heart loves? Scarcely had I passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you, by the gazelle and the doves of the field, do not arouse or awaken love till it so deserve. Thank you. The word of the Lord.
Morning. Let's pray as we open up this part of God's word together. Now, Lord God, we ask that you might reveal yourself to us through your word. We pray you might encourage us, caution us to live well in this life, to navigate well these days. Amen. We are continuing in Song of Songs. Song of Songs is a book that is about the beauty and the goodness of sex and intimacy and romance on a horizontal level, but it is also a book that reflects, like any good marriage, God's love for his people. He, the ultimate bridegroom, and we, his people, the bride of Christ. And in the first few chapters, the love story of the man and the woman has all been one of anticipation and excitement as to the newness of their love and the future possibility of intimacy and marriage. And yet the tone in this morning's passage kind of shifts. You might have picked that up in the reading. It is one of deep contrast. The story begins with the woman alone in her bed. And it is not excitement, but rather fear and anxiety that she is filled with. All night long on my bed, I looked for the one my heart loves. I looked for him, but did not find him. Now, there is debate and indecision over, there's kind of a couple of options, but some people think that what we're looking at here in these five verses is a dream. It's kind of a dreamlike sequence, a nightmare, if you will. She it kind of opens with her in her bed, and she's looking for the one whom her heart loves but cannot find him. And so she goes about searching. So the dream and nightmare, while others kind of think that perhaps what's on view is a flash forward. So previously, last chapter, we saw they were engaged, yet to be married, and yet we kind of then fast forward, we get a snapshot of a time when they are married, and it functions, either way, I don't think it really matters, but it functions as a juxtaposition, as a contrast to the opening chapters, a foil, if you will, against the excitement and pleasure and ecstasy of the love that we have seen so far. It is a warning that love isn't always just excitement and butterflies. That love can be indeed dangerous and complex and difficult to navigate. That marriage doesn't ultimately provide an antidote to loneliness. You can find yourself married and yet still wrestling and feeling incredibly alone. In fact, verse 1, all night long, so all night long could be a helpful translation, but the night is actually pluralized, that's not even a word, but that's kind of like, it is night by night, I lay on my bed, searching for him. She finds herself in a place of difficulty, a marriage that isn't quite what she imagined, a state of loneliness and disillusionment. And so she searches and searches for him, but not having found him where he should be, she gets up and goes out about the city. I will get up now and go about the city, she says. Through its streets and squares, I will search for the one my heart loves. So I looked for him, but did not find him. Not just does she go about the city, she goes about the city and she finds not her lover, but she finds other men, other watchmen. They find her actually, and she kind of pleads with them, have you seen the one my heart loves? But receives only silence from them. These who have been watching and searching the streets themselves. I know many women who would say they would never go about running late at night in the streets. And men, like, that's something we need to be thinking about, right? But many women say that they love to run, they love to walk, but they would never go about it late at night. Why? Because it's dangerous. To the fear and uncertainty and the vulnerability that is a very real reality if you are a woman wandering the streets at night. And out into the city this woman goes, late at night, without protection, wandering the streets alone, searching for him. In a very real way, making herself incredibly vulnerable and exposed. And here is why it's a cautionary tale, these five verses. And here's why verse 5 kind of ends the dream, the nightmare, if you will, or the flash forward with, be careful who you love. And be careful about stirring up love before it's time, because it's not all butterflies, that there is a vulnerability that comes with who you bind your heart to. That your heart will be exposed and endangered and open to hurt because of your love in a very real way. I remember when I was younger, I was about 3 years old and my mum said, like, let's play some hide and seek, just trying to entertain me probably. And so I went and hid. Meanwhile, she probably smashed some snacks, watched some TV, and had 3 minutes of peace. And then she went about searching for me, and my mum tells the story with horror as she walks through the house, unable to find me. And as a parent of small kids, you kind of expect them to be either in the last place they hid or in maybe the other two places that they think is a good hiding spot. And having explored all three places, she started to, well, maybe he's got a fourth now, and searching around. And then as time went by, she still couldn't find me. And each minute that went by, kind of the panic rises and the anxiety rises. And until my mum noticed the front door was open. And suddenly, you know, my mum's heart rate went from like, to like right through the roof, right? And so she's searching about, she runs outside, can't see me, runs down to the street, is looking up and down the street, still can't find me. She runs to the end of the street, searching around, runs back, like, is like calling out for me all through the house and street. She goes to the neighbor, our neighbor at the time, Heather, who's still good friends with. She goes about searching. Eventually, after like time and time, they're like, okay, we're going to call the police. And mum runs back inside to call the police. And as she is picking up the phone, she hears a small noise. And she goes into my bedroom, and what she's found is I've hidden under the covers and I've fallen asleep. And not just have I fallen asleep, but I then fell down in between the mattress and the wall. So it wasn't even like a lump on the bed. I'm a young prodigy. What can I say? Yeah, I'm a nightmare. Meanwhile, mum's life is just like up and down, right? Like, and such is the fear and anxiety. And I remember mum said to me years later when she was telling that story to me, she said, the hard thing about love, Jamie, is it's like having your heart walk around outside of your body. It's with kids, and it's with spouses, it's with good friends, it's with the people that you have bound your heart to. There's a vulnerability and a rawness and a potential for hurt and in danger and an exposedness that happens because your heart is kind of walking around outside of your body. That love is not just all wine and roses and delighting in the other and moonlit trips to Paris and Lizarro. That sometimes love has emotional highs but also can have pits of uncertainty and darkness in which you wander around afraid that you have lost the one whom your heart has bound itself to. Love can be painful and difficult and frustrating and confusing, and the search for deep intimacy can often be elusive. And there's something I think that we can appreciate about the realness in which Song of Songs presents love and marriage and intimacy. That it is a beautiful and a great and a good thing, and it is also a difficult and dangerous and something that causes you to have to navigate vulnerable places. But notice that the woman, she doesn't just kind of remain in her room and go, love is difficult, and wallow in her own self-pity or bitterness. Notice she doesn't just kind of go, why isn't he here, and kind of just get more and stew on it. But what does she do? She's eager and she's action heavy. She abandons her comfort and even her safety, courageously venturing out to grab him, risking her life for the reward of love, moving from a passive desire to a focused determination. I mentioned this last week. We often want intimacy, whether horizontally or vertically in our relationship with God, just to happen, as if it's just going to happen. And yet, it almost never does. It almost always requires action, movement, intentionality, hard work, sacrifice. Be careful living on autopilot in your relationships. Love requires not just feelings, but hard work, dedication, and sometimes risky work of having difficult conversations. And I'm not naturally good at that. My natural disposition is to avoid the conflict. And yet, as Dr. John Delaney says, that closeness is found through the conflict, not avoiding it. Closeness, intimacy is found through the conflict, not avoiding it. That intimate conversations are risky and even painful, and it can be hard to open up to someone about deep wounds or current frustrations and struggles, and yet that is how greater closeness is found. That love requires action and vulnerability. And so be careful who you bind your heart to. But this is a story not just of two humans in a horizontal, two lovers. This is a picture of Christ's bride, his people, and us. And so, Ian says, would this picture, this image of Song of Songs 3 be an accurate picture of your relationship with God and your desperate pursuit and search of him? If you are anything like me, the answer is, I'm afraid not. I don't have the desperation because, frankly and wrongly, most of the time I believe I'm getting along just fine. And what he goes on to say is that sometimes God, in his mercy, brings about a storm or dark nights that cause us to go seeking, searching in pursuit of him, to cling deeper to him. And finally, she finds him. Verse 4, scarcely I had passed them when I found the one my heart loves. I held him and would not let him go till I had brought him to my mother's house, to the room of the one who conceived me. No, she doesn't berate him. She doesn't display kind of passive aggressiveness to him. She doesn't use sex as a weapon in withholding herself to teach him a lesson. Rather, her desire for them to be united and restored and back together again, her desire is for their bodies to express what she has been longing for in her heart, that they be reunited, that they be restored. And more than just restored, I think the reference to mother's house and the bedroom where she was conceived is she longs for them to have a family. She longs for them to be joined, for life to come forward so she takes him to the room where her family's family began. That they might begin their own family, that the new life might come forward from them. That they might celebrate and enjoy and find delight in being united and no longer apart. And so there is a cautionary tale here that intimacy and relationship is a good thing, but also be careful who you bind your heart to. Be careful who you bind your heart to because there is a vulnerability that comes with it. And can I say this? If there's a vulnerability that comes with it that puts you in places where you might feel exposed, but if you are in a relationship where there is a level of danger within that relationship, please speak to someone. Please speak to myself or to Roger Stonehouse or to Lizzie. Speak to someone. There is a vulnerability that comes, but the relationship itself should be one of safety as well. But be careful of arousing love or awakening love before its time. How is it that we see this fulfilled? One of the things that we see is about 1,000 years after this is penned, Jesus comes on the scene and he says that he has come, why? To seek and to save the lost. And what we see is that in Jesus, he isn't the groom that goes and plays hide and seek and stands off in the darkness and says, you come and find me, you come and make yourself vulnerable. Rather, in God's love for us, he makes himself vulnerable. The divine love introduces Jesus as the vulnerable God. The God who goes out into the city searching for his bride so that he might protect her, so that she might not be lost to the darkness or the dangers of the streets. And yet when he goes, his bride doesn't accept him. She doesn't seize him. Rather, she rejects him. And when he comes across the watchmen, they don't just give him silence, rather they bind and arrest him. And he is dragged off to the darkness. But as he enters into the city, he is entering into his death. Seized by those who would kill and break him. Rejected by his bride. Why? So that his bride would not be lost to the darkness. He came, why? To seek and to save the lost. Rather than to hide at a distance. And one day, all that is felt now of us being Christ's bride and him being far away, one day we will not be far away. One day the intimacy that feels disjointed now will not be disjointed. And I think verse 4 is designed and given to us to remind us that that day will be a day of reunion and it will be one of great pleasure and delight and one of new life. So be careful who you bind your heart to. But also, remember that he has bound his heart with his people. And for that we can be thankful. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that In your love for us, you did not remain at a distance, but you drew near, even if that meant becoming vulnerable, even if that meant being strung up on a cross. We pray that we might remember you and walk well between now and then, when we will be united with you, joined with you on that great and wonderful day. Amen.